Amen. Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to all of you. I know all of you had daddies, so happy Father's Day. And those of you who are blessed with children, happy Father's Day within that. Thank you, worship team. You know, Scott, when I first saw those red things up there, I just thought you were going to start pumping iron during the time together. But anyways, I didn't know that they were the sand shakers or rattle, whatever. But it's a joy to have you here today. Just a couple of announcements. We have a fairly large memorial service here on Wednesday, and so we're going to have to set up all the chairs. And so if you have time and the strength and you would like to be a part of that, please stick around. I know it's Father's Day. I know it's a busy day and things like that, but it will be set back as normal, even though we're going to start farther back and have wider gaps between the rows for everything. And if you'd be praying for Wednesday around 11 o'clock, we would certainly appreciate that. Also, in our insert, if you notice there this year, we are going to have a church picnic as usual, but it's going to be different in the fact that the branches have so graciously offered for us to be out at their plantation / ranch and everything, and we'll have a great time. With that being said, if I could hear a couple of volunteers, you know, somewhere along the line, who would like to put together a few games for the little kids and somebody else who would have some games for the larger kids, I would greatly, greatly appreciate that. Also, a personal request is that we have a water balloon toss to see who has the softest toss and the best hands. I like to chill the balloons beforehand, and not for the splash effect, but in warm weather, they start sweating. The balloons do make them a little challenging to catch, but I just think it would be fun. And if you notice the bonus, we do have a shooting range available, and so if you want to bring, and it's up to 500 yards, is that what you said, to be able to do that. And we'll make sure it's away from families and children and everything else and be safety first, safety first, safety first. Please remember the two Bible studies. The men's is always open. Feel free to come. We sit in this great big circle, and we have a great time. The ladies' Bible starts in July, and be great. And I did not know this, but the webpage went down last weekend, and so people weren't able to sign up for the Connect group. So if you are still desirous of doing that, it will be for the next 5 weeks. We would love for you to be able to sign up today. Today will be the last day to sign up, and just join us and just have a great, great time. I would like to remind you about the VBS. We have over 300 families already signed up for the VBS this year, the backyard VBSs, and we are also in 4 different states now. And so we're excited about that, and it would be great to have some backyard VBSs here in, you know, Calhoun, Ellicott, out east again, and just have a great, great time and a special time. And it is a joy again to have you here. I hope you had a great week. Anybody have anything that just stood out to them that the Lord did in your life this past week? I'm going to put you on the spot. Anybody? Yeah, Rhett.
I finished reading
through
the whole Bible.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I won't ask you how long that took, but praise the Lord. Okay. But a joy. Yeah, amen. Amen. That is a great thing to be able to have accomplished and to be able to do things. You know, as we walk through life, there are so many challenges, especially during this time, and so much are struggling during this time. And to be able to minister to people is just so wonderful. And this week was just like many other weeks. You know, God gave me an opportunity to minister to a family that was really struggling in life and share the gospel with them and things like that. And that's always neat because he just shows up wonderfully in the midst of all of that. Well, all of you know that we are in 1 Corinthians and we are in chapter 10, and we know that with this it reveals that we are bought with a price. We are bought with a price. You know, when we think about that, really in the fact that Jesus Christ came and shed his blood for you and I, and we read that in chapter 6, verse 20, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so we really are looking at glorifying God with every fiber of our being all the time. God so graciously, and we know John 3:16, and so if you have that memorized with me, say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish but have everlasting life." Amen. That is the love of God. You know, that he gave us his Son. And so tangibly, he did that. And so as we start out chapter 10, I want us to realize that God's love was exposed. Love exposed. The reality of his love being revealed or exposed to us has been since creation. And lots of times we forget that. We forget the reality that God is always revealing his love in your life and my life. He's just open about it. He just pours it out. He just shares it wonderfully. And I want us to see today that God's great provision of love must never be ignored. God's great provision of love must never, ever be ignored in your life and my life. What we're going to see right away is that the children of Israel chose to ignore that. God revealed his love for them many, many ways, and Paul captures four of them right off the bat. And so within this, we see an example of God's love, love's example in the first few verses here. And sadly, we see that it is ignored or rejected. Look at verse 1 with me. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud." Now, what is he talking about? In the desert, God provided this cloud that would protect them from the sun during the day and would protect them from so many things. And that is the wonderful truth of the Holy Spirit. If you were to go back to, and if you want to jot this down, Exodus 13, verse 21, the Hebrews passed under the cloud, which symbolized the presence of the Holy Spirit among the Israelites. Now, the Corinthian people had already experienced that. The church had already experienced that. Now, go back to chapter 3 with me. Just a few pages in your Bible, and look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Notice what it says. "Do you not know that you are the temple and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" We have that same thing, and we will hear the emphasis of the Spirit of God at the end of the message today and what he has given us to protect us from life. Notice how that verse ends. It goes on, "and all passed through the sea." We know that. The Red Sea was real. God divided it in half. He walled up the water. They walked through on dry land. You talk about a miracle of miracles. And all of their carts were able to navigate it well without losing wheels and everything else, without getting stuck in mud. And you know, that it just shows the wonder of who God is. Well, the Corinthian believers, believe it or not, the Corinthians passed through the waters of baptism, marking their deliverance from the bondage of sin. Go back to chapter 1 with me and see how Paul is building this case of what happened to the children of Israel, what happened to them in Corinth, and the reality that sometimes we can ignore the love of God and God's example of love. In chapter 1, look at verse 13 with me. He goes, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say I baptized in my own name." No, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that baptism is a direct revelation of what took place in our heart and life in trusting Christ as Savior. We identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. We become new people. They were baptized. They were delivered from sin, and so they wanted to identify with their Savior. You and I do the same thing today, and the wonder of that. Look at verse 2. "And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea." Now, that's kind of a challenge, but if you would go back again to Exodus chapter 14, you would read these. The Hebrews were baptized into Moses in the cloud in the sea. That is fully associated with Moses as their spiritual and physical head. In other words, they said, now we know God has put you there to lead us. Even through the ten plagues, if you remember, Moses was often complained at, you know, because the slave drivers caused more work upon them and said, sure, you know, but even when they were delivered, you know, now they see, God has ordained you to lead us. Well, who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we see that. And so the Corinthians also were baptized in that of the Holy Spirit, and we just read that in 1 Corinthians 1:13. They were baptized, and the joy of that. Also in chapter 12, you would read this in verse 13. "Judge among yourselves as a proper..." That is not what I was looking for. I'm in 11, no wonder. 12:13, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." And all God's people said, yeah, there's one baptism. When we trusted Christ as Savior, we were placed into the body of Christ. And he's saying, you know, look at the example of everything that God has given the Israelites and to prove his love, to share his love with them. Verse 4 goes on, "And all drank of the spiritual, all drank of the same spiritual drink, and all drank of the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ." They all ate the spiritual food, and they all drank the same thing. So we know that God gave them manna. If you remember that, every day they went out and they were only supposed to get enough for the family for that day to prove their needs. But it was God's love. It would come down at night, form like dew on the ground. People would pick it up and they would have enough food for the whole day. It was sweet like honeycomb and things like that. But, you know, just like you and I, after about a month of the same food, it became boring, and so they wanted something different. And so rather than asking God, they began complaining about it. They really began complaining. Same with them getting thirsty. They had obviously run out of water. And so rather than talking to Moses about the situation, hey, we're all getting rather parched here. You know, we are in a desert. God reminded them, you know, once Moses tapped the rock, that water burst forth for a couple of million people. Now, if that isn't proof that God is God, water flowing from a rock in the middle of a desert on a mountain and providing that refreshment for so many people for so long, wow, God graciously does that. Love's example. Now, how about your life and my life? love's example in our lives. Well, do we have it all captured for us here from God? But does it end there? Have any of you experienced the love of God in your life? If you're here and you know Christ as Savior, you've experienced the love of God. Amen? Yeah, wonders of salvation, you have partaken of the love of God. And we know that we experience God's love other ways. I mean, God graciously saved my wife first and then came along and saved me next. And to be equally yoked from that point on is a love gift from God. To be able to glorify Him together, to walk together. And so I get to experience that, you know, and I am a dad. You know, and so, yeah, the birth of children was exciting. There isn't any doubt about that. I have to admit, Stephen was born while we were in the military. And, of course, I wanted a son. You know, it's early 70s, and so they didn't tell you up front what you were going to have. And I'm thankful for that personally. And when the nurse came around and said, "You've got a baby son, a boy," you know, you talk about cloud nine. Boom. And it just so happened on Armed Forces TV at that time happened to be a sports show. And so, you know, me being a sport and having a son, you know, like cloud nine. But I'll tell you, the day that Stephen trusted Christ as Savior was even bigger. You know, knowing that now he was a child of God. And same with the other three. They were girls. But, you know, such a joy of having children and the blessing that they are and then seeing them trust Christ as Savior. That's God's example of love to you and I. Yeah, I want you to know that even in my own personal walk, to be the pastor here in Ellicott, to me, that's an example of God's love to me, to allow me such the joy and privilege and responsibility of being the shepherd here. It is wonderful. His example is ever, ever being exposed to you and I, being revealed. You know, we see it in creation. We get excited about those things. Yeah, I was just reminded of a photo shoot that we did 4 years ago back in New York, and I realized, man, it's been 4 years. Man, you'll have to forgive me, but it was at an ice cream shop. I don't want to get any of you hungry. And it was absolutely, and it still is today, absolutely the best ice cream shop I've ever been to. And they had different things where you could put your head in the hole and have your pictures taken. And so all of our families, and we're doing all these fun pictures. And Facebook reminded me that I had posted it 4 years ago. And man, am I looking forward to doing that next month. You know, to be back there and to be with family and to be able to do those kinds of things. Because that reveals God's love for us. His greatest example of love for us is yet future in the rapture. Or passing through the veil of death, as horrible as we look at that, because death is rotten. We also know that for the child of God, to be absent from the body is to be what? Now that's a beautiful promise, and it's a real promise that we can take to the bank and the wonder of all that we have from God. And we can grip that. You know, the fact that he says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Is that an example of God's love? Oh, yeah. The fact that we get to spend eternity in his presence. Isn't that an example of God's love? The reality that his love is unconditional. Is that an example of God's love? The fact that you and I can all walk in God's grace and mercy, isn't that an example of God's love? The fact that he forgives you and I when we mess up and we sin, isn't that a real example of God's love? and brings us back into the fold, brings us back into the family of God so that we can walk with him. And so I'm admonishing you, just like Paul is for the Corinthian folks. We know they blew it. They walked away in so many different ways, living in sin and going crazy in life. And I'm just saying, don't ever forget the example of God's love, whether you read it in the Bible or whether you experience it in life personally. Just walk in it. They left it behind. Look at verse 5. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And he's going to explain a lot of that in the verses to follow. But let's look at the big one. He brought them right to the edge of Jordan, sent in the 12 spies, you know, and they came back bearing fruit. Everything is good. You know, they asked about the report. Wow, the land is really good. And Caleb and Joshua said, what? Let's go. Let's go do this. God's with us. Let's go forward. But the other 10 said, no, there's giants in the land. Now, they didn't say how many or anything like that. And you've got Caleb and Joshua over here saying, so, God's with us. Don't you remember all of this stuff and how he has graciously led us and provided for us all the way? He will do the same there. And if you remember, he said that his army would go through like a hornet, and a hornet would take care of 10,000 enemies. Now, if that isn't a provision of love being provided in advance, and yet their fears said no, and many of them died, and we will see the things that happened in their lives because they started sliding away from the example of God's beautiful love. Because in this, we're going to see love's exhortation, love's urging. Notice what we see in verse 6. Now these became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Listen, the children of Israel, they fell into real lust after evil things because they rejected that thought of going into the promised land. And so they allowed their hearts to be exposed to. You and I, can you and I have hearts that get exposed to evil today? Absolutely. Hey, if you've got a TV in your house, guess what? You know, if you have any kind of cable or dish or whatever they all are, you've got opportunity to expose yourself, your children, to all sorts of lust garbage. It's there. You don't have to open up a magazine nowadays very long. You know, back in the old days, it was just that. You have a computer, if you have an iPhone, guess what? You have an opportunity to expose yourself to junk. Real junk, and lust can come in and lead astray, to crave evil things. And that's what the children of Israel did. Notice verse 7, do not become idolaters as some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This is where Moses is up on the mountain, and what is he getting from God on the tablets? 10 commandments. Yeah, and they're down there, and oh, no, it's been 30 days. It's been 35 days. Oh, no, it's been 40. And so they're harping on Aaron. And what does Aaron do? Well, let's make a golden calf, you know, and he makes a golden calf that which resembled one of the 10 idols of Egypt. Now, each plague was against an idol of Egypt. You have to remember that. And they worshiped the animals, and then he lied to Moses when Moses finally came down, and he goes, oh, we just threw this stuff in the fire, and up rose a calf. Now, duh. Even I know that's not true. You know, and they began worshiping and having this vile party around it. They engaged in idolatry. You and I can do the same. And our idolatry can be our toys. It can be our gamers. It can be our boats. It can be our children. It can be our spouses. It can be so many things in your life and my life. And we have to realize that it's so easy. It can be the chasing after money, the chasing after material things, the chasing after anything except for God is idolatry. I want you to hear that. That is a truth of God's word. Your heart, my heart, should just have a passion, a burning passion, to know more about God, walk with Him intimately, and experience His presence moment by moment of each day. When you and I do that, you know what happens? He meets our every need. He pours out His love a little bit more. Then when the circumstances of life around us come crashing in that hurt and cause pain and chaos in our lives, we know our God is there. And He loves us and He cares for us. Bottom line, they really became immoral. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. In one day, 23,000 fell. Yeah. Don't follow those examples. You know, you might have a friend who, you know, decided to have an affair, and they're trying to tell you how great life is now. Guess what? Don't believe them. Don't believe them. It's a lie from Satan. You know, there is no thing there that is contrary to the Word of God that will ever be a blessing in your life or my life. It does not exist. I want you to hear that. It does not exist. The pleasure for a season might be real, but the consequences, oh, they are very real and they are severe. So don't follow. The bottom line, he says, do not even tempt Christ. This is his exhortation, God's exhortation. Verse 9 says, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Again, we saw that with them. They tempted God. They really tried to usurp Moses' authority, and they received a plague of serpents, and it was horrible, and many died, and, you know, because of it. And he's just saying, don't tempt Christ. You know, if you and I choose, you know, Judge Orr, it's rather a straight shot, is it not? And it's rather level. You get to see for a good distance ahead of you. You know what? If you and I go booking at 100 miles an hour on that road, we're tempting Christ. We're not just tempting fate. We're tempting the one who is our Savior. I-25. It's hard to be in the mix and not be going 85. Right? True? That's a true statement. Man, if you go 75, people are almost honking at you for doing what is right. And to me, 75 at times in that amount of traffic isn't a wise thing. But so I don't do 25 very often. I go to 83 or over, even farther, and I'll drive 30 miles out of my way to get someplace because I just don't want to tempt me. Because guess what? I've got a lead foot. I'll be honest. I have to set my cruise control all the time, even on Falcon Highway. And I know people get upset at me. You know, here I'm going 55, 56, having fun, windows down, music blasting. And I can see them coming like hornets behind me. This guy with the blue sticker on his car again. You know, and, you know, but I just don't want to tempt God. I don't want to tempt. I want to You know, that doesn't mean that something from the sides can't run in front of me and I have an accident. That's a reality. Animals are dumb. They don't check both ways, you know. Especially your antelope. My word. You talk about a dumb animal. I'm sorry. Somebody said the meat is sweet, though. You'll have to prove it to me. But anyways, they tempted Christ. And then verse 10, nor complain, as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. You know, grumbling against God's leaders. You know, that is so true. You know, we do that. Do you hear love's urging, love's exhortation? Don't follow carnality in the world. Follow Christ. Go to me to Romans chapter 8. We didn't do this last night, but I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. That's just back a few pages in your Bible towards Genesis. Romans chapter 8. Notice what it says, starting very, very first verse. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the what? To the what? Yeah, but according to the? For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. And all of God's people said, amen. If you go down to verse 4, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, so that admonishment there, the exhortation is don't chase after carnal things that distract us from our pursuit of God in life. You know, I ask you a question, and you did a whole lot better than last night. When I asked the end of a verse, it was dead silence. And I go, ah. And I said, you folks are just kind of like I was Thursday night. Thursday night, I was exhausted. I was really tired. And I was sitting there, and Thor's teaching the men's class. And I don't know if Mason saw me or anything, but I knew I was getting dozy dosed, and so I began doing leg exercises in my chair. I really thought about standing up, but, you know, because I'm the pastor, this fear came over me. If I stand up, everybody else is going to stand up. We're all going to look like fools, you know. But I'm just kind of exercising and everything, and I thought I got it, and I put my legs down, and, man, instantly, boom, there I am. Thor, being the good science teacher he is, he calls on the one asleep in class. Hey, Rich, what do you think about? And I heard my name, and I, huh? Yeah. Oh, boy, beet red. Here I go. When we retired at Bethel, one of the wives, now, if we go to live streaming here, and because we're videoing, you know, I can't walk down there as I like to, but in Erie I did. You know, I walked the aisles. I would ask questions, and I told the deacons, you're fair game. Every question I ask, I can call upon you. I want you to know that. And this gal's husband was a deacon many of the years that I was there. And she said, and Pastor, I want you to know, Mike never fell asleep once in your services because he was afraid you were going to call on him. And so, anyways, you know, but doing those things that distract from. You know, when Diane and I moved to Erie, we had gotten a realtor, and he knew I was a pastor, and we let him know, or I let him know, we want a house to move into. It has to be ready for occupancy. It has to be ready. You know, I don't have the time. I'm hitting the ground running. They've got a school. They have lots of issues, and I know I'm going to be consumed in my time, and so I don't have time. First house we go to, and I want you to know, in upstate New York, everybody was upgrading from 110 service to 220 service because of all the gadgets that houses are getting, you know, at that time. When we get to Erie, they're barely upgrading from 60 amp fuses to 110. And so I'm thinking, this is crazy. But we go in and we look at the house and we go down in the basement. And for me, I'm kind of want good electric, you know, because I know we want things, you know, washer, dryer, microwave, you know, those kinds of things that we all enjoy. And I'm looking at things and, you know, the wiring and stuff like that. And I go over to the box and I go, oh, this is weird. There's this yellow, big industrial yellow cord coming out of it. And I couldn't see it attached to any fuse. It just seems to be hardwired. And so I began following this big industrial yellow cord. And I followed it over and, you know, kind of 2 feet away and 2 feet away, maybe even 3 feet away from a corner, you know, it disappeared through the floor. And I go, well, where does that come out? Upstairs. Well, when we walked into the living room, there was this huge console TV kind of awkwardly in a corner. And I remembered, that's the corner where the yellow cord comes up. And so I looked behind, and again, not even close to the wall. Yeah, it's like they ran out of electric cord, and so we've got to put it up through the floor now, you know, instead of moving it over to the wall. And there on the floor was a 4x4 box with four plugs in it with extension cords. And I go, really? You're kidding me. And I go, oh, man. Well, guess what? I'm not going to put a purchase offer in on this house. You know, this is a, you know, and I got looking around a lot of the lamps and everything. There was like only one, maybe two plug-ins in the living room. And I go, gosh, this is crazy. And I go, maybe he just missed that. He didn't know that as a realtor. The very next house, we are doing the same thing. And we walk into the house, and I ask Diane about an order, and she recognized the order. Her snifter is much better than mine. And we're looking upstairs and then downstairs, and it looks decent. But I go down in the basement, and the smell is bad. And sure enough, we get down there, and it's a bare basement. In other words, totally unfinished, and it has benches, you know, long work benches kind of, with lamps over them. And I go, oh, okay. And I recognize the smell of pot and stuff like that, and like they also made their own oil down there. And it was bare walls, concrete walls, cement walls, and I don't know if Diane saw me do this, but I went over, kind of touched it, smelled it. It was permeated, the concrete, and I'm thinking, this is going to be horrible to try to get the smell out of. This is going to be drastic. You know what the selling point was of the basement? They advertised the house as a bath and a half, and there, totally exposed against the wall, was a commode. And I said to myself, self, how does that even come to be a half bath? Who's going to use it besides a 5-year-old kid? You know, but, you know, and so, and I'm thinking, what did he not hear in my urging of what we desired as a house? Is he just trying to get rid of something that's been on the market for a while, or what? Unsure of it. You know, doing those things that we see here is so, so important of how we live life. You and I ought to engage God's love with eagerness. Love's eagerness. Notice how it ends. Now, all of these have happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, literally instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So as we look at that, if this has been written for our admonition, and all of those examples, negative and positive, that are found for us in scriptures, you and I have to learn from them. So, you know, the first admonishment or the first eagerness is to be always teachable. Be teachable of God's word. Always have a tender spirit, heart wide open, as Rhett prayed earlier. Have our heart open to the word of God so the Spirit of God can take it and massage it deep into our lives so that we can grow in God's grace. This is the eagerness that we ought to have. Let me share with you an admonishment, some admonishments that Paul shared with the children at Thessalonica. Go over to 1 Thessalonians. This is towards the book of Revelation, before the book of Hebrews, right after Philippians and Colossians. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. There's an urgency, first, of not grumbling against leadership. Forgive me for going to it, but it's there. Verse 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor over you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you or teach you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So it's twofold. Don't go complaining among yourselves. And I want you to know right up front, I have enjoyed your love here at Ellicott from day one. I have experienced that. And so I want you to know you're doing well in the one that teaches and things like that. But within the body as well, do not complain and nitpick. You know, verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, we warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient to all. Now, that's a high list that God has given us. And within that patience, you know, how many of you have ever known somebody who is a know-it-all? I mean, just a know-it-all. It didn't matter the topic. They were experts in it. You know, you mention an issue with a car, they're the best mechanic in the whole world, and they can tell you without even seeing it and diagnose it, and there it is. You know, you mention an electric issue, you know, that you might be having in your car or in your, well, then they're the greatest electrician in the world. You know, you talk about music, well, they're the greatest musicians in the world, and they understand music right out, you know. It doesn't matter what it is. I don't know about you, but they kind of rub my patience just a tad, you know, but loving them and encouraging them and wanting them to grow in the grace of Christ. Notice verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Don't tempt him. You know, do not what the Spirit? Quench the Spirit of God. Do not despise the teaching of God's word. Test all things. Hold fast to all things that are good. Abstain from every form of evil. You know, God's admonishments are there, and you and I ought to be teachable, wanting to grow in God's grace. Look at verse 12. Notice what it says. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Well, what's wrong with this person? He's walking in pride. So what's the admonishment or the eagerness that God has for you and I? He wants you and I to live humbly. You know, that broken heart before God with a complete teachable spirit, you know, humbly approaching him, humbly serving others, wanting to see God grow in our midst and to have this beautiful, beautiful relationship with him. Look at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen, living in an evil world full of lust-filled things and corrupt things, temptation can confront your eyes and my eyes, your ears and my ears every single day. You know, I was reminded, you know, working in the workplace in a machine shop, you know, people there don't use very good language, you know. It can be just as foul as long as, you know, and it goes on and on and on, you know, and often I think, well, is that what they do at home too? I don't know. And no wonder, you know, children have it. But the temptation to chime in, or somebody comes up with a rude, crude, dirty joke, the temptation to stand and listen and laugh with the guys, you know, all of those become a reality, let alone everything else. But God, in revealing or exposing his love to you and I, and wanting us to be a loving example in this world, has given you and I, through the power of his Spirit within, to see that temptation and saying, oh man, I don't want to go there, and go the opposite direction. Just praise God and go the opposite direction. You know, when I used to get angry and just, you know, do foolish things in my anger, I always blame my dad. And early on, after I got saved, I can't stop it. And it wasn't until God hit me with a 2x4 in a very difficult way that I realized, Rich Bailey, this is your choice. I prick your conscience. You don't have to go ballistic. You can walk through this humbly and calmly for my glory. Still address the situation if it needs to be, but you and I just need to be spiritually sensitive in life, wanting him to be glorified. Love exposed. Let's remind ourselves of some things that God graciously has given us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. As children of God. Ephesians chapter 1. I want all of you to get there, whether you're on your phone or with the Bible. Notice verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings along the way, right? No, all or every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so he has blessed us in heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. He did not withhold one from you or you or you or you or me because we're whatever. He has given them freely to us, just as he, verse 4, chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Be holy, without blame, before him in what? Love. Allow ourselves to walk in the love of Christ, allowing the love example of Christ to be given to all around us, our spouses, our children, our neighbors, loving God passionately and allowing his love to flow through us. Verse 15, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Bottom line, he knew we were going to trust Christ as Savior. He knew Satan would try to do anything and everything to distract us from salvation, to keep us under condemnation. And he just made the way, saying, nope, you're going to get saved, I'm going to get saved, those who are truly saved. To the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the what? Beloved. You and I have been accepted in the body of Christ, the beloved of God. We are part of the family of God. Man, if that isn't God's love being exposed to us, We read back in chapter 6, love edifies, love builds up, love encourages. You and I find it difficult to do that if we are not receiving the love of God first and walking spiritually sensitive so that it can pour out of us. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, bought with a price, the forgiveness of sins. And all God's people said, yeah, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In other words, we've got the book. We can walk in his wisdom. We can ask for his wisdom. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, Gentiles to be saved, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, both and which are on earth. In him, you and I are in Christ. Amen? And that isn't going to change. You know, we have that joy within him. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. I don't know about you, but I often believe I didn't deserve that, but yet God graciously, lovingly gave it. Having predestined according to the purpose of he who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who are first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Bringing glory to God. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And all God's people said, you and I have that. He has revealed it. He has graciously poured it out. It is a paragraph that is so full of the richness of God's love. You and I have that, and you and I need to allow that to be revealed through our lives. So I'm going to ask you, how are you doing? Guess what I did with that realtor? I took him off to the side, and I said, come on. Didn't you smell that down there? And he goes, yeah, I didn't know what it is. And I go, well, I'm quite evident what it is. I said, the first place had an electrical issue that you just totally ignored. It's probably as illegal as the day is long. And there it is. And it pops up through the floor and being camouflaged by their TV. You know, I said, you know, with all due respect, we need a house that we can move into. You know, Diane will want to do her nesting stuff. And I know that painting or papering or whatever she deems fit, and I'm fine with that, but we have to be able to move in. Do you catch that? I don't have time to do all of this other stuff. You know, I hope that within the five houses you have there, you have that, because you haven't shown us that yet. And you know, and I believe it was one or two houses, maybe even the very next house we bought. We put it in purchase offer. We put it in purchase offer on two that day, I believe, and we got one. And but I believe it was the very next one, and then not that one, but one after that we put in purchase offers on. We are bought with a price. God reveals his love to us all the time. Let's walk in it. Let's close our time in prayer and stand for our final song. Our Father and our God, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for the wonder of your love. Thank you for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord. And Lord, may our lives not ignore the truths of history. You have revealed your love. You have poured out your love since the days of creation to us. We have experienced that. I'm convinced that you are love. Your word declares that. And so I'm confident that in eternity past, everything that happened in heaven before creation was a product of your great love. And I'm convinced that everything in the future is a product of your great love. Lord, I just pray that we as a church would reveal that to a lost and dying world. We have the golden key, so to speak, of what you have in store for us. And we live in a time of chaos and fear and anxiety. Lord, give us the strength, the boldness, the wisdom, the discernment to walk in your love and watch you do great and mighty things. I pray you'd meet every need of every heart here. Lord, if some have blown it, might they repent and just walk forward, realizing how great you love them. Thank you again, for it's in your Son's name we pray.